Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
Well, onto something more than a little different, food. A lot happens when a group of people share food at a table, and that's what motivated Lynn Christie Anderson to write Breaking Bread, Recipes and Stories from Immigrant Kitchens. 10 years ago, Anderson started teaching English as a second language to recent immigrants, and she wanted to find a way to connect with their disparate experiences and cultures. In no time, she realized just how she could bridge the gaps between them. Food. Jessica Alpert headed into the kitchen to get our story.
It was early evening when I pulled into the driveway of Lynn Christie Anderson's Jamaica Plain home, the house surrounded by lush green trees. I passed two herb gardens on my way to the front door.
I always love to cook and eat, and I love to talk about cooking and eating, and so they would...
10 years ago, Lynn worked as an ESL teacher. When she met her students for the first time, she instantly sensed their discomfort in her classroom.
Teacher, and I remember one day just looking out to this sea of faces, my students, and they were mothers and fathers and grandparents from places like Cape Verde and Guatemala and El Salvador and China and Pakistan, and thinking they almost seem scared to be here and they almost seem afraid of me, their teacher.
So how could she get them to communicate with her and with each other? There had to be something visceral, something that transcended language. So she encouraged them to bring in food from home, to talk about what they like to eat.
And before I knew it, they were bringing me their foods, like Cape Verdean couscous and, you know, tortillas and biryani rice and telling me how to make it and where to shop for ingredients. And so I started to realize that for my students, for people who have left almost everything behind, food is really powerful. It's this way to remain connected to the past, but it also kind of forms a bridge into the future here, because this is where their lives are now, and food can be legacy.
Lynn also realized food was a way for her students to connect with their own children, first-generation Americans.
Maybe their kids are no longer speaking their language. They can still cook for them, and they can still give them the foods from home.
It's better if you use warm water for the dog.
Beatriz Chacon is our guest cook today, and in the book, she gives her favorite recipe for tortillas. About 15 minutes after my arrival, she joined us in Lynn's kitchen, her sons Juan Antonio and Alejandro in tow.
My name is Beatriz Chacon, and I'm from Guatemala, and today we're going to make tortillas con frijoles y salsa. So vamos a comenzar con la... Oh, we're going to start with... I'm sorry.
Beatriz starts by filling a large bowl with maseca, a flour made out of ground-dried corn. She turns on the faucet and carefully adds water. Then the kneading begins. For Beatriz, growing up in Guatemala, tortillas were not just a favorite food. They were her family's lifeline.
My mother used to sell tortillas because... my father left when we were very young, and so she couldn't go out to work, so she had to make tortillas to sell.
Beatriz's sons and Lynn's children stand around an island in the middle of the kitchen and wait for the dough to be ready. Beatriz makes tortillas every day, and her son, Juan Antonio, knows his job very well.
Mom?
Yes.
Sorry, not to be rude, but when are we going to get started with the flattening?
Soon. See, I'm kneading the dough.
In the meantime, Lynn is at the stove, working on the frijoles.
I'm just doing the beans, and it's Beatrice's recipe, so a little bit of onion, and then the black beans, salt, pepper. She doesn't really put much in it. It's just really straightforward, and it goes on top of the tortillas with a little bit of cheese and salsa.
Beatriz was one of the first Boston-area immigrants Lynn interviewed for this book. Her 25 chapters span the globe with stories of Dominican sancocho from Roslindale and Cape Verdean cachupa from Hanson, Mass. The cuisine stretched her palate and her knowledge of supermarkets.
I had never been to the Afro-Caribbean market in Dudley, but Tanisha from Panama brought me in there, and that was just like walking into another world. I mean, from food to suitcases to machetes at the counter. I said, Tanisha, why are there machetes at the counter? And she's like, you know what? We Panamanians like to keep a machete in the house. You never know.
And the biggest challenge for this project? Not language, not ingredients, not time, but...
recipes. I don't think one person that I cooked with pulled out a measuring cup, measuring spoon. You know, they just throw things in the bowl. They cook by feel. They cook by taste. But in order to, you know, get a recipe down on paper so that I could put it into a book, that took some time. So that, you know, I kind of guessed at amounts, and then I got home and I really just tweaked it.
After many tries, Lynn was able to figure out Beatrice's tortilla recipe. Now the kids are busy flattening the dough into round discs. Not too thick, though.
So, is this right? It has to be loose on your hand. See the bowl? I'll give you this one. See?
Is this good?
See, that's perfect, Lily.
It's
perfect.
Have it now.
Wait, I'll do it with a...
Oh, perfecto. Thank you.
Beatrice's boys barely speak Spanish. It is the food that allows Juan Antonio and Alejandro to feel and taste where their mother came from. But these Boston-born boys cannot deny their North American roots. Alejandro's favorite filling for his tortillas?
I sometimes put hot dogs in them.
But this time, we'll keep it authentic, topping our piping hot tortillas with some frijoles, fresh cheese, and homegrown chives from the garden.
Sounds like someone's copying the Vanta.
Radio Boston's Jessica Alpert making us all a little hungry. To learn more about Lynn's book, visit our website at wbur.org/Boston. You can learn about food discoveries each and every day on WBUR's food blog. That's publicradiokitchen.org. Got to take another quick break, but when we come back, people have been using wood to heat their houses from time immemorial. But now there's a small but growing industry looking to use that ancient practice to create a new energy market. We'll take a look at the environmental merits or demerits of burning wood for energy. Stay with us. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.